and welcome to Gilmore Ball Z, a podcast where I show my husband Gilmore Girls, he shows me Dragon Ball, and we try to find some sort of common ground. I'm Paige.
I'm Grant.
And today we watch Season 2, Episode 14 of Gilmore Girls, and Episode 42 of Dragon Ball Z Kai. And Grant, what happened this week on Gilmore Girls?
Well, this week on Gilmore Girls, we kind of went back to our more traditional Lorelai plot, Rory plot structure. So the Lorelai plot was definitely the A plot this week, and it was that Christopher is going to be swinging through town.
What?
Yeah, Christopher was out on a business trip,
Rory's dad.
Yeah, Rory's father, for those of us who aren't keeping close watch. Yeah, Rory's father happens to be in town, and he wants to come swing by and say hi, and all that good stuff. And it turns out that, you know, Rory has this big debate at Chilton this week. And so Lorelai's like, oh, yeah, why don't you come by? Rory would love that. We can visit. It'll be great. And so he comes by, and unbeknownst to Lorelai, he shows up with Sherry.
Sherry!
The 12th pomegranate woman. Madam Pomegranate. And so it's, you know, it's not like Lorelai and Rory were opposed to meeting her, but this it's just that it was sprung on them.
Like,
and
if you're... baby's dad comes with his girlfriend, who you've never met, you just give a little forewarning. It's polite.
Yeah, no, hey, I want you to meet Sherry, or whatever. And so they're a little taken aback by this, but they roll with it. Oh, okay, invite them over for, you know, water and apple juice, I guess. Old Halloween candy at the Gilmore house, and hang out for a bit, and all that good stuff. So, Sherry is awkward.
She's super awkward.
Sherry is just very awkward and a little bit nosy and very put together. I think that really, you know, back when she was, when we had the Mowerses on and they were talking about, you know, of course she's the kind of woman who have a bunch of pomegranates on her counter. It really does make sense. She's that kind of woman. She's very upscale. She has an addiction to shopping for clothes.
But she also doesn't get humor, really.
Yeah, she doesn't understand the sarcasm that Lorelai is laying down. She's just a little bit off. And she's really, really, really interested in getting to know Rory right off the bat. Like, the first time they're hanging out, she's like, oh, the two of us should go shopping together.
I want to see your room and your books.
Yeah, like, she's taking a really strong interest in Rory, which is great, because, you know, if you have a kid, you want your significant other to take an interest in that kid. But she's very, very forward about it. And so she corners Lorelai in the kitchen and is like, just so you know, we don't have to be friends.
We don't have to have any sort of
relationship. Yeah, we don't have to have any kind of relationship whatsoever. And, you know, you don't need to feel like you need to get to know me. But I really want to get to know Rory. And so would it be okay if Rory and I went out tonight and did something together, just the two of us, when she's just met this woman?
It's Friday.
Yeah, and like a Friday night. So it's Friday dinner. And so Lorelai's like, I guess I could get her out of Friday dinner, but only if Rory wants to. And so she stealthily lets Rory know, hey, you don't have to do this. But Rory goes along with it because she's Rory. And she will go along with things even if she doesn't want to, because she wants to be a good kid. And so Rory and Sherry end up going out to just like dinner and a movie, just the two of them that night. And Lorelai's like, oh, well, Christopher, do you want to come with me to Friday dinner? My parents would love to see you again. It'll be great. And she doesn't tell Emily this is happening. So she shows up at Richard and Emily's house for Friday dinner with no Rory and with Christopher. And this just throws everything off and throws Emily a little bit out of sorts. And of course, Richard doesn't even notice at first. Ah, Christopher, how's business? I'm Richard Gilmore. Business, business, business.
Manhattans.
So it comes out that, oh, yeah, Rory is out with Christopher's girlfriend. And Emily just kind of freezes up at this of like, oh, well, how serious are you about this woman? What's going on? Are you looking for a good place? You don't want to move into an old place because it might have mold, but a new place is going to be shoddily put together. Oh, and you got a Volvo. That's a family car. Are you planning on having a family?
With this woman.
With this woman. Yeah, she keeps being this woman. And Emily is just acting weird and freaking out. And so Lorelai gets her alone and says, like, Mom, what's going on? Like, I'm sorry that I didn't call ahead and let you know this was happening. That's on me. But what's going on? And Emily freaks out. Like, don't you realize this awful woman is going to get her claws into Rory and you're never going to see her again? And, like, don't let them have weekends and things like that. Like, she's convinced that Sherry is going to, like, sneak in the middle of the night and, you know, with a big burlap sack with a dollar sign on it and put Rory in it and sneak away in the middle of the night.
And really, she doesn't know anything about Sherry except that she's Christopher's girlfriend. They've been together for a while. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, and that's all she's got. So she's just immediately decided Sherry's a bad person. And so Lorelai prods a little further, like, what are you talking about? And Emily kind of blurts out, like, this was supposed to be you. Like, you were supposed to help Christopher get his life together and be together so Rory could have both of her parents together. And instead, you frittered away these 15, probably closer to, like, 17 years now, just doing your own thing. And so now Sherry has the life you were supposed to have. And Lorelai fights back, like, that is not what is happening. And Christopher and I don't work out, and that's okay. And what's important is that we need to be happy for him, that he is happy. And Emily just won't have any of it.
And this is good for Rory.
Yeah, and it's good for Rory, too.
If Chris gets his life together, that's great for Rory.
Yeah, like,
he's showing up to things.
Yeah, he's showing up to things. He's, apparently they're having a weekly phone calls and things.
He's punctual.
He's showing, yeah, exactly, like, it's good for Rory that her dad is getting his life together, even if it's not with Lorelai. And Emily just isn't having any of it. And so this kind of puts Lorelai into a bit of a funk. Actually, I guess I skipped before the Friday dinner. Lorelai and Christopher are talking about how, you know, like, he's trying to prod out of her, what do you really think of Sherry? And she's like, oh, well, she's a bit odd. She cornered me in the kitchen and started talking to me about how I don't need to be a part of her life. And, like, I want you to realize that if Rory is going to be a part of her life, I'm going to be a part of her life. And I want that to be clear, like, that is a thing that is going to be important. And I gotta say, I love Christopher this episode. He immediately comes back with, like, okay, well, then why didn't I ever meet Max?
Yeah.
Like, Max got very, very, you know, you were engaged to this guy. I didn't find out until your bachelorette party. He was very close with Rory. I never met the guy.
Yeah.
And you're telling me this? And Lord's like, well, you would eventually met him and eventually would have gotten to be part of the picture. And says, well, good. You'll eventually be a part of the picture with Sherry. And he shuts that down. Like, Christopher is not taking any of Lorelai's crap.
But at the same time, we do have to point out that Lorelai points out, and Christopher doesn't really, like, give her anything on, you said this was going to be, I'm coming, you know, you didn't give me any we pronouns, you sprung your girlfriend on me.
Yeah, no.
And he has no answer for that.
Yeah, no, she does nail him on surprising her with Sherry. So they get a little bit of a back and forth there.
These people are adults here.
No. So then after the dinner, like, you know, she's talking to Luke about it, of like, oh, things got crazy at dinner. And she talks to Rory and she says, hey, did you ever really picture me and your dad getting back together? And Rory says, like, yeah, you know, obviously any kid in the situation, it's going to come up, but it's not something like I was having my heart set on, which doesn't necessarily track with the conversation Rory and Lorelai had last season, but whatever. And
she's like, I saw you and Pee Wee Herman together, yeah, and Matthew Broderick. Like, yeah. I thought about who my mom would marry.
Yeah, yeah. So this obviously wasn't, it's not like this was heartbreaking for Rory that Lorelai and Christopher didn't get together. And so then Lorelai has to really stop and think about it and realize, like, no, I was the one who always kind of harbored feelings for Christopher, and I need to acknowledge the fact that that threw me off. And so Sherry and Rory are saying goodbye to each other outside the diner. So she sits down with Christopher and says, hey, I need you to know, for a long time, I kind of was carrying this torch for you, and I kind of let sabotage a lot of my relationships, sabotage my relationship with Max. It held me back in a lot of ways, but seeing you with Sherry really has finally helped me to let go of that, and I'm ready to move on now. So, you know, thank you, and I'm really happy for you, and I think this is going to be great.
What, this is on me?
Yeah, yeah, Christopher, rightfully, is like, he actually says, how dare you put that on me? Like, it's because of me and my own personal failings that you sabotaged every relationship you had for the last 15 years. It's my fault that your relationship with Max fell apart. Like, he lays into her in the middle of the diner and just points out all the laundry list of reasons why this argument is bullshit. And he just lays it out, like, no, that's a load of crap. And he gets up and he storms out. So not necessarily the most adult way to handle that situation, but also not entirely wrong.
I disagree with you, and I will disagree in a minute.
They leave, and so Lorelai is just sort of left in her own little emotional stew there at the end of the episode. So that was the bulk of the story. On the Rory side, we got, like, again, we got, like, a little mini Lane plot and a little mini Paris plot. So I mentioned before there's a big debate going on at Chilton, and so Paris and Rory have been working very closely together about it, and they've kind of worked out their little repartee. I like that we're getting a more friendly version of the two of them. And so they go to their big debate, and they kick ass. Brad from the Romeo and Juliet episode is on the debate team for the other school.
And it seemed like he was doing better.
Yeah, like, it seemed like transferring schools was good for him, and he was doing better, and then he just shrinks and changes color as soon as he sees Paris, and they get steamrolled. So Rory and Paris kick ass at it, and so after the debate, Paris is like, oh, I was wondering if you wanted to go over the transcript of our debates as soon as they come out, and we can go over our arguments, what we could have done better, and compare our words per minute and everything. And Rory's like, I'm gonna go celebrate and have lunch with my mom and dad. And Paris is like, oh, I see. You don't want to hang out with me. I thought we were friends.
No. It's even
sadder. Or no, I don't want you to celebrate with me.
That's her version of celebrating, is going over their WPMs and talking about what they could have done better. Like, she was looking forward to having a celebration with Rory.
Yeah, like, this was her trying to do a friendship thing. We'll celebrate together and be friends.
It's just so out of line with how other humans celebrate. And it was cute and sad.
Like it was just very clear that Rory misread the intent of that invitation, and it was too late. And so Paris storms off, and she isn't seen for the rest of the episode. On the flip side, since the whole Henry situation blew up after Basketgate, Lane is being basically held prisoner in her home by Mrs. Kim. She talked her teachers into homeschooling her for 2 weeks, and she's not allowed to leave the house and only allowed 5 minutes of phone time other than the Psalm a Day hotline that does not update its psalms every day. And so there's this little B-plot of, like, Lane looking around Stars Hollow out of a telescope and seeing where Rory is and, like, calling a payphone or calling Luke's to talk to her.
Just in the search of a Belle and Sebastian single.
Yeah, it's like the new Belle and Sebastian single is coming out, and I need you to get it to me the day it comes out. So there's just this little undercurrent B-plot of, like, logistics, and it ends with this kind of cute set piece of, like, Kirk goes up and accosts Mrs. Kim and Lane while they're walking somewhere to get the store hours, and that distracts her while Michelle, disguised as a jogger, jogs by and drops the CD in Lane's bag and everything. And so it comes out into this nice, cute little set piece at the end. And so then there's the payoff there. And yeah, that's basically what happened this week on Gilmore Girls. So what happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Well, this week, Goku's back. So obviously we get a big exciting fight where Goku and Frieza trade blows, right?
Obviously.
Obviously not. Basically, Goku takes a minute to say, hey team, I'm proud of you. You're the reason I'm here. You're the wind beneath my wings, but I need you to step back because I'm going to beat up Frieza on my own. And everyone is confused, like, is this a good idea? He just beat up Vegeta really handily, and Vegeta's really strong. But also, is this the same guy? Like, Goku is so much stronger than he used to be because he sat in a back to tank for 20 minutes.
And he's got a little bit of Zen Goku light going on.
He's got light Zen Goku going on, and that's cool. Vegeta's like, okay, this is Kakarot you're dealing with. And Frieza goes, Kakarot, I know that name. And it turns out that Goku's dad was on Planet Vegeta when it got destroyed, and in Planet Vegeta's last moments, I wasn't clear if this spurred Planet Vegeta's last moments, he turned on Frieza, said, we are Saiyans, we are strong, we are proud, we are going to defeat you, and we aren't going to be putting up with being your puppets any longer. And Frieza said, K-cool, and blew up Planet Vegeta. And that is how Frieza kind of knows Goku, and how, like, Goku finds out a little bit more about who he is as a Saiyan. And so when Goku's strutting up all strong, like, guess what Vegeta thinks this means?
I think he thinks it means that Goku is really strong now.
You know, that'd be the logical conclusion. But Vegeta has decided that now this is what a Super Saiyan looks like. Like,
like, we've gone to Goku is a Super Saiyan. Is Gohan a Super Saiyan? I'm a Super Saiyan. Wait, no, Goku is a Super Saiyan.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm waiting for Piccolo to be the Super Saiyan.
The bald one's a Super Saiyan.
It's sure. Sure, why not? Sure. Vegeta decides this because Frieza keeps shooting Goku with new blasts, and Goku is deflecting them with one hand. And that's impossible. He should have been dead by now. Or maybe, like, I don't know, if I was Goku, I'd deflect them upwards so he wouldn't cause as much collateral damage to planet Namek. But, you know, whatever.
But collateral damage looks cooler.
Collateral damage looks cooler, and all you have to do is superimpose an explosion on top of the, like, landscape you already have. Sure. And everyone's shocked and confused. Vegeta starts yelling about Saiyan pride. Like, how you have to defeat Frieza. And Frieza's like, I'm having none of this. And kills Vegeta. He's just like, pew!
Through the heart.
Pew! Through the heart. And Goku is shocked and appalled that this despot, who has become a dictator of the universe and has killed most of planet Namek, would kill one guy that Goku knows the name of. Like, well, you killed hundreds of Namekians.
Yeah, slaughtering multiple villages of innocent Namekians, including children, was one thing. But killing my kind of sort of buddy is too far, Frieza.
My kind of sort of buddy who definitely had it coming. So Vegeta uses his dying breath to say, Goku, you have to be a Saiyan now. Our people were killed by Frieza. You need to have Saiyan pride. You need to, you know, Frieza needs to die at the hands of a Saiyan to avenge our people. And Goku says, you know what? You're right. I, for my people, for the planet Namek, I will defeat Frieza.
Yeah, and it's important to note that Goku did not know Frieza had eradicated the Saiyans until now.
That's true. Because
Vegeta only just found that out.
Yeah. Although, I mean, does Goku have that much warmth in his heart for Saiyans? Because, like, the three Saiyans he's met have not all been, like, good people who deserve avenging.
Don't think about that too hard.
Yeah, we won't.
What does it say on MST3K?
If you're wondering how they eat and breathe and other science facts, repeat to yourself that it's just a show and you should really just relax.
Yeah, that's just a show. You should really just relax.
Frieza stops and doesn't murder Goku for Goku to have long enough to bury Vegeta. They all just stand there while Goku buries Vegeta and talks about, well, how we had our rough times, but he was, you know, I respected your pride, your Saiyan pride, and I have my Saiyan pride, and I am going to defeat Frieza. And that is how this episode ends, without Goku landing a single punch.
I mean, he kicked Frieza in the face that one time.
Once.
Yeah. No, this was the dramatic build-up to the fight. Now they're going to start punching each other next week.
Okay. What did you think of this episode of Gilmore Girls?
You know, I actually really like this episode of Gilmore Girls. I think that this episode nailed the, like, mini Rory plot structure that has missed the last couple times. I'm still a little frustrated that we only kind of got, like, part of a Paris plot and part of a Lane plot, but they felt more formed. I think that
they were correctly scoped.
Yeah, they were correctly scoped. Like, the Paris plot, we could have gotten more follow-up of, like, oh, Paris, I didn't realize that you were trying to be friendly. You know, I want us to be friends and blah, blah, blah. We could have gotten that, but I think it's okay that we didn't. You know, this plot kind of ended on, it was almost like a laugh line. It's like, oh, that's how Paris thinks celebrating works. She's so weird. And it worked. And the Lane plot, like, the stakes were sufficiently low and they were treated as sufficiently low that the tone of it all worked out, as opposed to, like, the cheerleading thing of, like, Lane's cheerleading now. It is the end of the world! This was just, like, Lane wants a CD, even though she's grounded. So we come up with a silly plot to get her the CD. It worked. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't great character development revelations, but it doesn't always have to be. Oh. I thought that that worked really well.
Especially when the other plot is more based on big character revelations.
Yeah, and I think that that was great. Like, I really, really liked the Lorelei plot. I'm quickly becoming a fan of Christopher whenever he shows up, because even though he is imperfect and he, you know, is obviously still not always the adult in the room and is learning how to be a dad and everything, I like that we get to see what he brings out in Lorelei and how sometimes it's good things and sometimes that's bad things. And we're really beginning to see a picture of what that alternate life could have been. And so I can kind of see why Emily always secretly hoped in her heart that they'd get back together, because I think that she's not wrong that they could have been really good for each other, and it's unfortunate that it never quite worked out.
Yeah.
So I think the character moments worked, the dialogue worked, the jokes worked, the structure worked pretty well. I think I like this one better than the last couple. This was a pretty solid episode of Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do have a note here, and this might counteract some, like, we disagree a little here. My note is completely, Christopher is the worst. Like, I don't have a lot of feelings about Christopher in general, but in this episode, I felt like he was the worst.
See, I...
No, here.
Yeah, I'll let you say your piece.
Yeah, no, my piece is in two parts. My first part is that when he's saying, why didn't you tell me about Max? That is completely fair, but he doesn't seem to see a difference between bringing a partner into the equation who actively doesn't want to meet the parent with custody. Custody is very important here. Chris has not been in their lives for years. Lorelai wasn't even sure he had his life completely together when they were, like, when she was together with Max. She didn't really know there was a Sherry involved, I don't think.
No. Yeah. You know, she only just found out about Sherry recently.
So for all she knew, Chris still didn't have his life together. And he wasn't calling Rory regularly. They weren't seeing each other regularly. He was a pretty absent father. And so although the men in her life, he should meet them, agreed, definitely, it's not the same situation. And it's Lorelai holding back in her own issues there that she needs to work out, not Max actively saying, I don't want to meet Rory's father. I don't need to know Rory's father. Meanwhile, Lorelai has custody. She is with Rory all the time, and so when Sherry sees Rory, her mom is a much more important part of the relationship than an absent dad. And actively saying, instead of omission of, I didn't introduce you to the father, going up to the mother of the child you want a relationship with, saying, we don't need to be friends, we don't need to like each other, instead of saying, hey, I don't want to intrude on your life, which is what she obviously meant, but I want to have a relationship with Rory, so it's important to me that we're on good terms, would be a much better way of going about it, and Lorelai is right to have an issue with that.
Okay, fair.
And later in the episode, when Christopher is saying, why are you dumping this on me, is very reactionary. Because, and I can understand her saying, you know, you were holding me back would be worth that, but what she was saying was, I had this. This was on me, this is something I was holding in my head, and that was wrong of me. And you are someone who's important to me. This is somebody who has more emotional context on her than anyone else except possibly Luke or Suki. And who has a longer context with her. And so he understands her parents. He understands what they had together. He is really the only person she can tell about this, because telling Rory would be incredibly inappropriate.
It would be incredibly inappropriate.
And telling Emily would be incredibly fraught. And so she's trusting him with this, like, I went about this wrong. And there's an argument to be made that she should have just kept this to herself, but it's a TV show and they need to show it to somebody. And so him immediately reacting and saying, oh, that sucks, or even, like, not even I'm sorry that I did this to you, but that must have been hard. she doesn't put blame on it. Like, she uses wording that is very specifically not blame-oriented, and he immediately takes it as blame on him.
See, I feel like there aren't very many people out there who could hear all of that and not feel like some blame was being put on them. Like, even if you carefully word around it, there's still an element of that going on there. And although you're correct that Christopher's probably the only person Lorelai could have talked to about this safely, it's also kind of, even if you word it carefully, it's kind of a crappy thing to drop on him right when he's about to leave.
It's a crappy timing, but it's also a crappy reaction.
I suppose. I don't know. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from.
That one's more iffy than the other one. The other one, I'm still going to say Christopher is the worst for saying his new girlfriend being a jerk about this is the same as he, as an absent dad, not meeting the fiance.
That's true. Yeah, I think that there's definitely more ground. See, the first time is a bit more of just like a witty repartee,
yeah,
which would work better. I think the second time around threw me a little bit, just because she specifically called out that it was why her relationship with Max fell apart.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit, because her relationship with Max fell apart because
Max is the worst.
A horrible person.
Yeah.
So I think that just, I got my Max rage blinders, and so I wasn't examining the emotional nuance of the scene. So you absolutely have a point there. It's just whenever Max Medina comes up, it's like Kill Bill with the zoom and the... That's how I feel. That's what happens in my head. So you have a point. I wasn't thinking.
Okay, I've said my piece, and here I will say my piece about Dragon Ball.
Yeah, what did you think of Dragon Ball Z Kai?
You know, in some ways, it was better than recent episodes.
I would say it was.
You had a lot more of that character work than I'm asking for. Vegeta was a much more interesting and nuanced character. Goku was a more interesting and nuanced character. Frieza's kind of, you know, snidely whiplash over there twirling his mustache and shooting some balls, but that's fine.
Yeah, Frieza will never be an interesting character.
No, and that's fine. I really appreciated that they did more with Goku and Vegeta, but it just still felt slow. And I know that's not going to change, slow. But it still is slow. They tried to bait us on with, like, a tiny bit of action, but, like, it felt like they were pandering whenever they gave us action, and it felt like they were filling time whenever they give us character work. And I want that character work. Like, they are not filling time for me. That's the juicy stuff, and give me the oomph.
Yeah, I think especially the first half of the episode, there were some extended sequences of just, like, Piccolo and Gohan and Krillin standing there, and Gohan, like, taking a step forward, and Piccolo going, no, he's too powerful.
Well, and I know this is a budgeting issue, but there was a lot of meat in what Vegeta was feeling and thinking about his past on Planet Vegeta. Like, there was a lot about how his family was treated, how his people were treated, what that was like for them when the planet was defeated, and him. Like, it felt like, because they're flashing back now, is the first time he really revisits and reconceptualizes what this looks like for him, knowing that Frieza killed his people.
Yeah.
And that's an episode worth of meat. And they gave it to us in a 5-second montage of, like, stuff happening on Planet Vegeta when it was blown up and Vegeta flashing back. And that's not enough.
Yeah, again, I really want that Vegeta prequel series.
Yeah, no,
I would love to dig into Vegeta's past on Planet Vegeta with King Vegeta. 100%. Not a very creative society, the Saiyans.
No. Which actually brings me to my first question.
Okay.
What's up with Vegeta's mom? Because when he talks about Planet Vegeta being destroyed, he was like, with your parents, Goku, and my father, the king.
That's true. He doesn't mention his mom.
Who's his mom?
I don't know.
Is she already dead?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they've ever dug into Mrs. Vegeta. Amiyumi, get on it. we'll wait in the comments for Amiyumi to fact check us on that. I don't know. Maybe she died in childbirth.
Yeah.
Maybe she was already dead. Maybe it's just Toriyama never bothered to conceptualize. I mean, Goku's mom didn't actually get properly conceptualized until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, until like 2014.
It was around then. Yeah, yeah. She showed up. She showed up in Space Patrolman Jocko. Just like they did a little side arc where Jocko happened upon Planet Vegeta, and we actually got to meet Goku's mom.
Yeah.
Which led to a great in joke among our friends of Goku's mom is so fat jokes.
Just Goku's mom jokes in general.
Yeah, it's just Yo Mama So Fat jokes, but Dragon Ball themed.
Yeah, Goku's mama is so fat, her signature move is a Kamehameha hamburger.
Goku's mom is so fat that when Cell absorbed her, all he got was diabetes.
Yeah.
You know, just fun stuff like
good
that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, no, hashtag Goku's mom, get it trending. So yeah, I don't know, it seems like Toriyama, at the very least at the time of this writing, when these episodes were written, or when this chapter of the manga was written, he just hadn't really conceptualized anything for Vegeta's mom. So I don't know, maybe there's something in there, but I don't think there is.
Okay, I know I've asked this before, but I'm gonna keep asking it until I have an answer that I'm satisfied with.
Okay.
What does Vegeta think a Super Saiyan actually is?
That's the thing, is the legend of the Super Saiyan, there hasn't been one in 1,000 years or whatever it is, it's been passed down so much. It's unclear how much he actually knows about Super Saiyans, and if they're just a really strong Saiyan, or if he actually knows that there is a transformation involved, but I think he just, because I think it's just like, oh, Goku's a Super Saiyan, wait, no, Goku's holding back, he's not a Super Saiyan yet, and he says, to become a Super Saiyan, you need to put your mercy aside, so I think he sees that Goku has the potential to become a Super Saiyan, and he probably has the notion that something about you will be different. But I guess also he just thought he was a Super Saiyan because he was really strong. So no, I think he just thinks that a Super Saiyan is a really strong Saiyan. And to be fair, he's not entirely wrong.
But he's also kind of an idiot.
It just comes with cosmetic changes.
Okay, so two questions about... We get a brief flash after Vegeta dies of King Kai, explaining to people on King Kai's planet what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, all the dead guys get an update. One, the way King Kai says this is... Vegeta was betrayed by Frieza after he served him faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what we are seeing. Like, Vegeta was killed by Frieza after he rebelled and tried to murder him repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah. So Frieza killed Vegeta after he started a coup and murdered all of his lieutenants.
My question is, what's King Kai's game here? What is he? What is the narrative he's trying to tell? What is the King Kai propaganda machine doing here?
I think that the idea is up until, like, the time that they discovered that Goku, that Kakarot was still alive, which we don't know how long that was before Raditz showed up on planet Earth, we get the vibe that Vegeta was serving Frieza relatively faithfully. So he was a faithful soldier for many years.
I mean, relatively faithfully, and he was looking to betray him if he ever got the opportunity for 5 seconds. And, like, the entire time that they've known Frieza, or known that Frieza, like, the
concept of Frieza.
Yeah, I mean, obviously King Kai has a little bit of far vision, but he also probably has enough far vision to see when, like, you know, Raditz and Nappa and Vegeta were kicking it, saying, man, wouldn't it be awesome to kill Frieza? And I'm sure that's common among a lot of Frieza's warriors, but it's not exactly like it's a surprise.
Yeah, let's stop and remember that Kui and Zarbon and Doria all played the we can team up to defeat Frieza card. So I get the feeling that the Frieza hierarchy is very much dog-eat-dog. But yeah, no, it was weird wording, and I don't know if I have a satisfactory answer to you for that one, but it seems like Vegeta was a faithful soldier for at least a period of time.
Still, worth murdering him.
Oh yeah, no, Frieza is absolutely in the right to murder Vegeta.
My last question is from a meta standpoint.
Okay.
I've talked before about how King Kai kind of sounds like...
like Cartman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why would you have Cartman as the go-to character for relaying important expository information?
Well, you see, it's important to note that he doesn't sound like Cartman in the original Japanese.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, he has kind of, like, a little bit of a deeper register. Not, like, super deep, but he does. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
He has a different voice. So it's really a question of why they had Sean Chamel do that voice for King Kai. And the thing is that, at least in his early showings, he's more of a comedic character.
But they knew where he was going.
Yeah, I don't know if I... Again, I don't know if I have a satisfactory answer for that one.
So, I have a theory of what will be in your Gilmore Girls questions or conspiracy hour, but
okay,
do you want to
get ahead of that, or do you want me to go?
No, I want you to go, and I want to see if it's there.
Okay, so, yeah, I think the obvious one is Stars Hollow High is just okay with saying, by the way, she's sick, I'm going to homeschool her for 2 weeks? Second worst school in America, apparently. So there have been weekly calls between Christopher and Rory.
Apparently.
And we've heard no mention of this so far.
No.
It's just kind of never come up.
It's not important.
That Rory has a regular relationship with her father now?
No.
No? Okay, no. Cool. How did Rory get Michelle in on this whole, roped into this whole single drop delivery scheme? I feel like there's a long list of people that they could have gone to first.
Why Michelle? I don't have an answer for. Why Michelle did it, I have a feeling that there is another stage to this whole, like, chain reaction of convolution, and that is, like, Rory asking Suki to help Lane by making Michelle egg white omelets for, like, 3 weeks or something.
So he's been bribed.
I feel like he's been bribed somehow off screen.
You know, I think that might actually be all of my questions and conspiracies, although... I gotta say, Sherry's pretty darn weird.
I'm saying we have another interplanetary visitor.
I was gonna say, maybe I've been pegging the wrong alien. Or maybe there's like a Skrull Krieg thing going on here, and Emily is fully aware that Sherry is here to out her or something.
Yeah, and that's why it's such a violent reaction.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something more going on there. But no, I think that's pretty much all I've got. This is a pretty relatively straightforward episode of Gilmore Girls, or maybe I'm just getting desensitized to Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
I might just be getting desensitized to Gilmore Girls. I think that's Swaps. About it. So who do we want to swap this week?
I want to swap Sherry with somebody.
Sherry, yeah, I think, yeah.
I want to swap maybe with Vegeta.
Okay.
Where she just, you know, tells Goku, like, I really want you to defeat Frieza, but we don't have to have a relationship. Yeah, we don't have to be friends. This is all for the pride of the Saiyans. And I just need you to do that. Can I go shopping with Gohan now?
And, you know, Goku's be like, yeah, okay, cool. And then I don't have to bother protecting him. Hey, Krillin! You know, babysitting duties off. Like, hey, Goku, are you sure we should be letting Gohan go off this random...
Space alien lady?
You know what I mean? Sherry did just murder a whole bunch of Namekians and said, nah, it'll be fine. We're both Saiyans now. We're family. And then, yeah, Sherry just goes off with Gohan to go shopping for Saiyan battle armor.
Yeah.
There you go. That works. I kind of want to swap Sherry with Frieza.
Okay.
I want to, because there's definitely, even if it wasn't intentional, there's definitely a passive-aggressive vibe between Sherry and Lorelai.
Oh, that's 100% intentional.
Yeah. Well, I know it's intentional on the writing perspective, but it's kind of unclear if Sherry's being passive-aggressive or just being weird and it's coming off passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to see Frieza replaced with just, like, this smiley passive-aggressive woman of just, like, being really, really nice to Goku all while trying, like... low-key about, like, you know, we don't have to have any kind of relationship. You could leave.
I just want the Dragon Ball.
I just want to make sure that I can get immortality and conquer the universe.
And sell my L'Oreal products more places.
To more places. Yeah, the whole real estate development thing. Like, I just really want that. And so, I hope that's okay with you.
But if it's not, I'll make it happen anyway.
I'll just kill you. And then at the same time, Emily... getting really upset about it being Frieza, Christopher's new girlfriend, Frieza, about getting that space tyrant getting his claws into Rory.
It was supposed to be you.
You were supposed to be the one conquering the universe. And, you know, almost like a King Kai kind of thing. I don't know. I feel like there's something to be had there. There's some comedy to be had there. Just like, I would love to spend some time with Rory tonight. Like, sure, you can go to a movie or whatever. Oh, excellent. But, like, not, like, in a weird way. Like, not in a predatory way. Just Frieza legitimately just goes out for dinner and a movie with...
Oh, yeah, I feel like...
with Rory.
No, I want to see the,
You're a very bright girl. You'll be my lieutenant when I conquer the planet Earth.
Yeah, no, I want to see the short fan-made video... of, like, Frieza going out and getting yoga pants. Because I feel like that guy lounges in the yoga pants.
These look delightful.
Yeah.
I shall be the most stylish and powerful warrior at the hot yoga class. The others will not have the stamina for the heat. But I am Frieza, ruler of the universe.
Then he just murders everyone who's better than him in hot yoga.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, guys. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Frieza and Yoga Pants on Facebook. At Gilmore Ball Z is the name of our page. Twitter at Gilmore Ball Z. Stitcher, Facebook. Give us reviews.
You can email us at gilmoreballz@gmail.com.
You can post on our subreddit, which is rgilmoreballz.
We also have a Tumblr.
Yeah, it exists.
Gilmoreballz.tumblr.com.
But, yeah, no, like, subscribe, rate,
yeah, whatever. Leave us ratings, share it with your friends, all that good stuff. And we're getting into the, well, we're getting into something here with the Frieza fight.
Really? Are we? I don't believe you.
It's gonna be interesting. But hey, Vegeta's dead now. That's
cool.
That's progress. So, join us next week.
Thanks, guys.
So, will Goku finally punch someone? Has that woman gotten her claws into Rory? And can we make bagel hockey a thing? It worked for Quidditch. Find out next time on Gilmore Ball Z.